This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi-noise.com and as part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, please go to deliberatenoise.com. All right, walk in this direction. If you'd like to send feedback, you can email me. My email address is Derek, that's D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. You can follow me on Facebook or Twitter under the name Derek Howard, or on Instagram under the name Comic Book Noise. Alright, this has been a weird summer for me, because for, you know, most of the summer I watch a lot of TV, you know. I watch a lot of TV normally, but during the summer is when I usually, you know, I try to watch a lot of TV, watch a lot of movies, just basically that's what I do. But this particular summer, I have not been watching as much TV as I normally do. I watched, I made sure that I caught all of Mr. Robot as it was coming out. But beyond that, I haven't been keeping up with everything, you know. I'm caught up on certain things now, but I haven't been watching anything week to week. All right. So what that means is that lately I've been binge watching a lot of stuff. All right, because there are a lot of good shows out there, a lot of ones that I wish that I had kept up with. Alright, sorry about that. I want to make sure that I put my dogs in the house. So, the barking you hear, I have no direct control over. So, a couple of doors down. It's funny, they've got a little yip yip dog and a big husky barking dog, too. Same as we do. Anyway, so I'm all caught up on Defiance. And I have to say, I think so far this is probably my favorite season of Defiance. I've liked them all so far. But this one, it really sort of upped the stakes. You know, last season, there was all that stuff going on with Urissa and the destruction of several major cities. The destruction of, was it Earth, not EarthGov, Earth Republic, right? And this didn't have that sort of far-reaching implications, but it dealt with the actual town of Defiance, you know? And I like that, because that's sort of a little bit more of what I wanted. I wanted there to be some sort of, how do I put this? Defiance has been said to be sort of a border town. It is sort of portrayed as one, but I never really got the sense that it was some sort of a border town, that it was some sort of, maybe not even a border town, but it's sort of like this, this halfway point between, civilization and just anarchy, you know? And there were times where last season where, like I said, you bring in the Earth Republic, and they were trying to, I don't know, civilize things a little too much. You know, it felt more, it felt less like, I don't know how to put it. Let's just say that I preferred this season. There were a couple of, major characters from last season who were written out, and I didn't necessarily like that because I pretty much liked all of the characters that were written out, including, that creepy guy. And if you've seen this season, you know which one I'm talking about. The guy in the bunker, you know. I really was not fond of the whole Voltan Collective storyline at first. But I really liked the way that they took care of it. I really liked the way that there were consequences for everybody involved in that whole storyline. I really enjoyed that part. And I also liked the follow-up with the Voltan Collective. You know, it's just, there was just so much really good stuff. But I do have a question. And maybe this is just something I missed. Maybe they just didn't. Maybe it was a throwaway line that they just now, a throwaway concept, I should say, that they now have decided to pick up on. But what happened to Australia? You know, that's what I want to know. They made a big point of pointing out that Australia was one of two things. It was very far away from Defiance, and it was completely empty. And I want to know what the hell happened to Australia. You know, what was it? There was DC Comics. They had a miniseries, event crossover called Invasion, where basically the major alien races at the time, like the Dominators, the Kuns, the Tamarins, the Thanagarians, and somebody else. Can't remember. They all decided to team up to invade Earth. And the first place they picked was Australia. That I do remember. That was like, what, 90, excuse me, 80. I want to say it's like 87, 88, maybe. That was a long time ago. Anyway, so if anybody knows what happened to Australia, let me know. Or if this is something that they just introduced. I'm curious. And another thing that I've been trying to catch up on, although I'm, it's a lot slower moving to me in the catching up part. I'm also trying to catch up on Killjoys. Now, I've talked about Killjoys before. I really like this show. This is sort of like a throwback to the 90s, syndicated. Thank you. 90s syndicated sci-fi stuff. You know, shows like Andromeda and, oh my God, Farscape, which, you know, I never did finish watching Farscape. They sort of tampered with the format a little too much, and I got away from Farscape, and I haven't gone back yet. I do want to finish it, even though I know the story has never been completed. Except I think they completed it in comic book form. Which means I have to go and hunt out comic books. And I'll tell you right now, in case you don't know, if you don't read comic books, you just are a sci-fi fan. licensed comic book stories are a lot harder to find if you don't get them right away. All right. What I mean is, there's a comic book company a long time ago called Innovation. All right, and they had a group called Hero Alliance, which was really good. It was one of the first ones that tried to say what the lives of superheroes really be like in the real world. You know. And it just had a little bit more of a reality base to it. There was, I can't even bring it. Yeah, there was Sentry, I know, because there's a Marvel character called Sentry, who I always call a fake Sentry, because the real Sentry was Batman before Batman was Batman. In the 80s, Batman wasn't this, who always had a great plan and was defeating people left and right just because, you know, he was this great strategist, right? He also wasn't as dark and moody, right? Wasn't as mysterious as they try to make him out to be now. But there was a character, you know, he was a lot more. Let me put it like this. If they had a picture of the Justice League that was like being taken by Jimmy Olsen or somebody, Batman was right there. Then somewhere late 80s, early 90s, then it would be like everybody but Batman, or Batman would be back in the back, you know, stuff like that. But there was a character in Hero Alliance called Sentry, and you didn't know anything about Sentry. You knew that he liked to hit criminals really hard, but other than that, you didn't know anything about him. He met somebody one time outside of his costume, and he was a black man, you know. But even then, you could tell, all right, is this still like a costume, or is the white guy costume, you know, what is the disguise? And I like that. But anyway, they also had Lost in Space. That was the other one I couldn't remember. They had Lost in Space, and they had Quantum Leap. Okay. Issues for Lost in Space and Quantum Leap are incredibly difficult to find. Incredibly. All right, for a while there, right after Firefly got canceled, and right before the movie, Dark Horse put out a few comics, kind of sort of bridging the gap. Those individual issues are also difficult to find, all right? A lot of the old Doctor Who comic books are difficult to find. If it's licensed, chances are they don't. No, a lot of times, I'm not going to say chances are, but a lot of times they don't reprint those things, right? In fact, there are things like licensed properties for Marvel that they can't reprint, like ROM or some of the Micronauts stuff, I think, or you know, just things like Shogun Warriors. And there was one, there was a book that they had a long time ago called Godzilla. And recently, like within the time I've been doing this podcast, they put out an essential Godzilla, which is basically just the reprinting of this series in black and white. When it came out, Chris Marshall warned everybody, said, look, you should get this while you can, because chances are they're going to lose this license and they will not be able to reprint it again. And I think that's the case. So I think that's really difficult to find. Yeah, getting those Farscape books is going to be difficult. All right. Maybe not as, I don't know. Fringe had a comic book out, but, I never read the individual issues of Fringe. I had to go to digital. So that's one really good thing about digital, is that if you can get those books, for licensed property on digital, get them, read them as soon as you can, because or else it's going to be like Lost in Space. And I'll tell you right now, I have a couple of those Lost in Space issues. It's really good stuff. All right. Now, I think I know I've mentioned this on this podcast before. I liked the last Lost in Space movie up until a point. In the beginning of the movie, it was really good. You know, it wasn't like the hardest of science fiction. It wasn't like Interstellar type or Contact type science fiction, but it was pretty good. And then they got to that part where they saw that cartoon animal, and the whole story just went straight downhill for me. But the comic books or more like the first part of Lost in Space, and not like the second part, just in case you wonder. Babylon 5, they have licensed comic books. Now, the difference between Babylon 5 and all these others, well, most of these others, the Babylon 5 books, the books and the comic books are all official stories. So, whoa, bees, why are there bees? All right. You know how you can have a, you can have something that happened in a Star Wars book, and if it's like by a different author several years earlier or beyond, things will be different. Things will completely change. That won't happen with Babylon 5 because I believe JMS has like control, and he's like, okay, well, this can't happen because this, this, and this, and this. So he has, so anything that's official Babylon 5 material is all part of the official story. That said, those comic books, difficult to find. All right. Now, when I say difficult to find, I mean difficult to find in like dollar bins, back issue bins, when you go to conventions, stuff like that. Probably find it online, but yeah, I don't know. For me, it's more like a thrill of the chase. If there's something I really, really want and I don't mind paying out the ass for it, then I'll go online. But if I really want to just search for something, yeah, then I'll go and search for it. Anyway, so what was I talking about? Killjoys. Yeah. I still have a few more episodes of this season to go. But man, it's a good show. It is really entertaining, right? And Aaron Ashmore, because I'm going to, before when I talked about it, I really didn't have a whole lot of complimentary things to say about Aaron Ashmore, because it just seems like they want to really make him into a Sci-Fi Channel star, you know? They just seems like they put him into a lot of stuff that he doesn't really need to be in. He really is the heart of the show. All right. Dutch is the face. She's the action. The brother, I don't know why he's really there. I really don't. I guess he's there to add some sort of mystery. But if it was just the two of them, I would still like the show. You know, if it's Aaron and Dutch, I really like the show. Even with the brother along, I like it. But when it's just focusing on the brother, I don't really care. And what I really like, the last episode I saw was the one about the rain. No, I saw the one after that, but I didn't finish it yet. So what I like is they're starting to really flesh out some things that they only touched upon before. All right. Like in an earlier episode, they started mentioning this one planet that they were going to, hold on a second. All right. What was that? Yeah. Earlier in the season, they were talking about, this planet that was being parceled up, you know, that's just being divided into parcels, and then people are going to come and live there. But in the latest episodes that I've been watching, they've actually given a little bit more detail on what all that means, right? Apparently, if you're a seventh generation person, then you get to have free land on another planet, but if you're only fourth, then you're stuck there. And it's, you know, it's that kind of little detail that I really like. And they also answered questions kind of about the doctor. I kind of figured something like that. But anyway, yeah, I'm also gonna just go in the house. There's a bunch of people out here now. The guy with the dogs that were just barking, he's sitting out there having a cigarette, and he's watching me from his backyard. So I'm in my backyard, and Patty's out smoking a cigarette, too. So I feel kind of self-conscious doing this thing with the audience. So I'm going to go inside If you'd like to get in touch with me, go ahead and email me. Man, my address is Derek's, D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. You can leave a message on the website, which is scifinoise.com, or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. Thank you, and I'll be back soon with another episode.
I'm going to go.